This wasn't Brandon's doing. I heard his bitch speaking to the men who were using me as a punching bag. The Alpha ordered my death, not my capture. Somehow, Brandon found out and took over, demanding I be brought in alive for questioning. The men were afraid they'd be punished for disobedience, and Natalie was assuring them Brandon would protect them from his father.
They beat you. Broke your bones.
He'd been in agony. She'd felt it. He reached for her chin and forced her to look at him.
And you healed me. But I was still alive to heal because of Brandon Nash. The Kalbu may have saved my life. Again.
Don't defend him,
she responded, still reeling from everything that had gone down. Still unable to process what Brandon had done. Why he had done it. Wishing he'd been straight with her from the beginning.
The way you were with him?
She asked herself sarcastically. If only they'd both been more interested in talking than fighting or fucking, maybe none of this would have happened. If only she'd been more curious about his people's culture and traditions, she might have been more prepared. If only they'd worked together to investigate the murders, and Brandon hadn't let the enforcers focus on Ram, the killers could be dead by now. If only she'd known him as well as she thought she did. But the shameful truth was that, while she knew every muscle and tendon, every sensitive spot on his body, she didn't know why he'd decided to remain an enforcer, instead of going into business like his father, or relaxing in the country like his uncle. She knew his mother had died, but she'd never asked about her. What she was like when alive. She didn't know much more about Brandon than how he made her feel. If only she had... But it was too late now. There was no going back.
This will always happen in the end, whether he gives the order or not. He said it himself. He does his job. And his duty as enforcer, his personal prejudice, what I am, will always come between us. How can they not? And he'll never understand how being fireborn is changing me, what I need.
It felt like her heart was breaking. Brandon wasn't hers, and she wasn't his to claim. When they were together, they'd set fire to each other. He was all she could think about, all she wanted, but he wanted to keep her wrapped up safely so she couldn't escape. He didn't trust her, and she no longer trusted him. Not completely. She wanted too much now, wanted things she shouldn't, people she shouldn't.
West, why did you come? What did you see?
Aziza met his surprised gaze as he answered.
This. I saw you go fireborn on the werewolves, and I knew what I needed to do next. I've called a family of keepers' children in France who are caretakers for one of the more fortified safe houses. Pin will need to leave tonight.
She stiffened, knowing it was her actions that had put her aunt in danger, that William Nash would be out for payback. And he knew her family was her weakness.
Just Pin? Will they take Ram? Devil?
West's smile was gentle, as if he was trying to share his serenity with her.
They'll be expecting Hillary and Pin. Ram is needed here, and since you just declared Devil the Alpha, I imagine he'll have his hands full trying to take back what belongs to him.
When they got to the flat, Chai had obviously filled everyone else in on West's plan, because Pin was crying, and Hillary held her own expression resolute. Aziza hesitated in front of her aunt's partner. How would William Nash's assistant react to what she'd done? Hillary studied her for a heartbeat, then pulled her into her arms.
Forgive me, Aziza, for not allowing myself to face what I've always known was true. Small as he was, since we were kids, Billy was the most dangerous werewolf I'd known. Cruel. He should never have been the Alpha. I should have left my job years ago in protest.
Aziza hugged her back in relief.
There's nothing for you to be sorry for, Hill. You and Devil are the two best werewolves I know.
Hillary pulled back. And Brandon.
The Alpha cut him when Natalie told him how he'd prompted you to save Ram at Underbridge. He still has enforcers loyal to his leadership. I'm not sure what they'll do to Brandon, no.
Hill, Penn interrupted. I'm being forced out of my home indefinitely, and as much as I love you, it is in large part because your upright Brandon lied to my niece. On multiple occasions, if I understand correctly. If she wants to stay mad at the werewolf wanker for tonight, then she bloody well can. And you shouldn't waste your breath defending him.
Aziza blinked rapidly, feeling a heavy ache in her chest. Pin would be taken from her now, like Joseph. Both of them hidden because of what she was. Hidden until the end. She couldn't stay here waiting to say goodbye.
I love you, Aunt Pin. West says we'll be able to talk soon and you'll be safe.
Pin pushed back her wild blonde curls, the strain showing around her usually sparkling blue eyes.
Don't worry about me, Aziza. You do what you have to do so you can be safe, and hopefully what I've given to Greg will help with that.
What did you give him? Pin shook her head.
I told him to wait until tomorrow. Just give us a hug then and let us get done with this. The sooner we leave, the sooner we can come back.
Hill's smile was bittersweet. You always did want a honeymoon, Pin. Aziza didn't say a word during the cab ride back to the safe house. Didn't say a word when Chai helped her change out of her party dress and back into a t-shirt and yoga pants. She found her way to the small living room and sat down by the fire, sticking her hand absently in and out of the flame, her emotions wrung out of her until she was limp, empty, tired. Greg came and sat down beside her.
Have you let Chai apologize yet?
4 times now. Aziza nodded, looking at him. I told her she didn't need to. God knows I've made worse mistakes in the last few weeks. Pin said she gave you something to give me?
Pennies, Greg murmured. Pin's pennies. Chai figured out Adam's pictures, one of those non-verbis sed rebus things.
Not by words, but by things. It meant the picture spelled something out. Pennies. She closed her eyes and saw the images in her mind again. The letter C on a billboard for Colorado. A mining pick. A picture of an animated DVD. And a penny. Why hadn't she seen it before? It was right in front of her.
See a penny, pick it up.
Exactly. I seem to recall you, Joseph, and Adam telling a funny story about pennies. Pin gave me...
Aziza. Ram's voice brought her back to the present, pulling her gaze away from the fire. He stopped when he saw Greg.
I apologize. Am I interrupting?
Greg sighed and got to his feet again, studying the two of them.
No, Ram. I think right now you're the one she wants. The one she'll listen to.
He put his hand on her head, tousling her hair.
We'll talk about it later. We're safe here. West said the tunnel is hidden and they won't find it. No more sneak attacks, so you can stop standing guard, okay?
Okay.
Love you, babe.
Love you back.
Greg left them alone, and Ram hesitated at the edge of the living room. She frowned, examining him for signs of injury.
Are you still okay?
Better than okay. He looked into her eyes and his gaze narrowed. Are you? She shrugged.
I'm not sure. I think I overloaded a circuit or something. I feel strange. Nothing is resolved. If anything, it's more of a mess than ever. And I don't think I'll ever be invited to a fancy werewolf party again.
He strode over to her and reached for her hands, pulling her to her feet and up over his shoulder in one smooth swoop. She gasped.
Ram, what are you doing?
Ram didn't answer, taking her down the hall towards the bedroom. He kicked open one of the doors and stepped inside, closing it behind them before setting her on the bed. She reached behind herself to get her balance.
What's going on?
Kneeling at her feet, he placed his hands on her thighs, his emerald gaze sincere and open, one light, fading bruise, the only evidence he was ever harmed.
his lips lifted in a half-smile.
Don't worry. I'm not proposing. You warned me about that the first time I met you, remember?
She did. Good, because a proposal is the last thing I need. He nodded in understanding, but he looked determined.
I need to do this now. Say this. You saved my life, Aziza Jane Stewart, in more ways than you know. But after tonight it became official. You warned Chev and saved me from an enforcer cell. You healed me. We are even. You don't owe me any more for rescuing your aunt. The debt has been paid.
She reached out and ran her hands over his short hair. I will always owe you for that, Ram, but I appreciate the sentiment. The Mayat had healed him, and now she knew it was in her. Knew she could call to it when someone was hurt unjustly. She wouldn't have to hold another dying innocent in her arms, not if she had anything to say about it. And she knew what the key to calling it was now. Love. He dragged her off the bed until she was kneeling between his thighs.
We are even, Aziza?
His tone was adamant. Equal. And both of us are free, yes? From our bonds? From our debts? Ram? She wasn't sure what he wanted from her, but being this close to him when she felt so lost and alone was dangerous. You don't owe me anything. She thought about Brandon and pushed his image away as much as she could. What are you? He covered her mouth with his own, his lips ravenous, reckless. Aziza hesitated a breathless moment before the fire inside her rose up to meet him. It had been so long since Ram kissed her. But back then she thought it was a dream. He was a dream. Now she knew he was real. He wrapped one hand around her neck and placed the other low on her stomach, sliding beneath the fabric of her stretchy yoga pants. No hesitation, no waiting. One touch and she was wild in his embrace, spreading her legs to ease his way, caressing his short hair with her hands, and hating that she could no longer grip the dark, silken waves she remembered. Stop thinking, she told herself, running her hands over his snug white t-shirt and dragging it up so she could touch his bare flesh, his lean muscles. Stop thinking, she moaned when he traced her hip with his thumb, making her shiver. Moaned again when she reached for his jeans and slid the buttons from their holes. Stop thinking and fuck this man you've been fantasizing about. The man who knows you, good and bad, who wants all that you are. She wrapped her fingers around his darkly flushed erection, and he arched his hips back with a hiss, lifting his hips from hers. Aziza, wait. Why? She groaned, with her eyes still closed. This is what you want. What I want. You were right, what you said at the hangar. I wished for you. When I touched myself, when he... I think about you, Ram. About the three of us. And since you played me, since that night in your bed, I can't stop wanting more. You and Brandon, together, West.
God, what was wrong with her? You can have more.
His smile was sensual, but his emerald eyes were dark.
You owe me nothing, and I ask for nothing more than this. I know what you are, who you are. I know how you feel about him, more than you do tonight. I know and I don't care, because I also know how you feel about me. You proved it with one touch. When you healed me, I knew I could sense it.
She whimpered in frustration. Why are you talking? Why are you reminding me of all the reasons we should stop?
Before I get inside you again, you need to know that with me you don't have to hide your desires. With me you are free to let go. Whatever I can't give you, I will get for you. Whatever makes you burn.
Oh, God. He licked his lower lip. No guilt between us for this. No regrets. No regrets, she repeated. Unless you stop touching me.
You know I love it when you get bossy.
He gripped her waist and lifted her higher onto the bed, tugging off her pants and underwear with one swift, practiced move.
"Yes. I won't stop, sweet Aziza," he promised, his voice rasping with need. "I'm not a gentleman, remember? I'm a djinn. And there is something I've been dying to do to you since you let me have a taste the other night."
He lowered his head between her thighs and lifted her legs over his shoulders.
"Ram!"
She cried his name when he used his fingers to spread the wet lips of her sex and thrust his tongue deep inside her.
"Yes! God, yes!"
He pushed closer, his eyes closing as his tongue filled her, curled inside her, made her squirm against him and grip his head with her fingers.
"So good, Ram,"
she muttered, using the heels of her feet on his back for balance as she lifted her hips off the bed, desperate for more.
"Make me come. Make me come like this.
Make me burn." His groan was hoarse as his tongue thrust deeper, slipping out to flick against her clit before delving back in for more of the arousal she knew was filling his mouth, glistening on her thighs. She wanted it since she'd put her fingers in his mouth and watched him revel in the smallest taste. She wanted to see him like this, feel his desperation, his passion. Every part of her wanted this, wanted what only Ram could give her. Give them. He gripped her hips and rolled over onto his back on the bed, taking her with him. Her hands gripped the headboard as she looked down at him. Fire licked up her spine at the sight. Ride him. Aziza pulled off her shirt and dropped it behind her, tilting her head and letting her hair fall over one shoulder so she could see him clearly. He'd opened his eyes, the emerald gems nearly glowing with lust as he watched her, his tongue slowing, waiting.
"You're teasing me,"
she murmured, adjusting her grip on the wooden headboard.
"But we've teased each other enough."
She rolled her hips against him and his grip on her skin tightened. "Aren't you dying for it, Ram? Haven't you had dreams about my taste? Don't you want to hear me scream?"
He closed his eyes and in answer bit at the sensitive lips of her sex before thrusting his tongue deep inside her again.
"Yes, Ram, fuck!"
His tongue felt deeper now. His whole face pressed against her as he took everything she offered. No more teasing or hesitation. She rode him, grinding against him, moaning with each lash of his tongue. Lash. Oh, God. The way he'd cuffed and whipped her on that cross. The way he'd used that evil stick. The whole scene was playing in her mind again as she lowered one hand to the top of his head to hold him still while she undulated against him. He gave her everything. Submission. Domination. He would follow her lead. No limits. Just pleasure. She needed to give it back. Aziza was gasping, her body glistening with heat when she released the headboard and tugged his hands off her hips, so she could turn until her back was to the wall. Still straddling his face, she lowered herself onto his body, studying the long, thick cock straining from between the opening in his jeans.
"Aziza,"
he whispered, anticipation deepening his voice.
"We've teased each other enough,"
she repeated, taking the base of him in her hand and tightening her grip. "The last time I did this, I blamed the wine. This time, I just want to enjoy it." Ram gasped and buried his face in her sex again, shouting against her flesh when she lowered her mouth until his shaft hit the back of her throat. She felt wild, powerful. He tasted like salt and sex and alive. He tasted so alive. She'd thought he was going to die, that she would lose him the way she'd lost everyone else. His hips were lifting against her mouth and hers were rocking against his when he rolled them onto their sides and they curved around each other. Aziza felt his fingers join his tongue inside her, and she cried out against the hot flesh stretching her mouth wide. "Hot. Need more. Make me burn." No, she couldn't burn. Ram can take it. The first orgasm surprised her, shooting up her spine and making her body buck against his. She lifted her mouth.
"Ram!"
His hold on her was so tight it was almost bruising. He pumped his tongue inside her as if he was trying to taste every drop of her climax, as if he was starving for her. She shuddered against him again, gasping for breath while she licked his shaft.
Ram, yes, more.
She needed more, wanted everything.
Ram, fuck me, I need you to.
He lifted his head, his lips and chin shimmering with her arousal.
You taste too good, Aziza. I don't want to stop.
Please.
His eyes narrowed and he licked his lips, moaning,
You'll have to do better than that to pull me away from this feast. You know I don't shock easily.
I thought I said no teasing.
His expression was carnal.
Teasing can be fun.
Please, Ram, I can't take any more.
You've whipped me, made me come in front of you, held me against the wall, and made me think things I shouldn't. I've been fantasizing about you being inside me for days.
Tell me.
Which one? The one where you bend me over a desk and spank me, and then there are two of you teaching me a lesson, and then four because you have West and Brandon join us, and all of you are... Ram!
He dragged her around until she was sideways on the bed, her legs still over his shoulders. She laughed breathlessly.
That's all it took? I've hardly gotten started.
Ram let her legs slide down his shoulders so he could grip her wrists and hold them over her head.
At Underbridge?
His question was low and intense.
With you on fire and riding me while you took West into your mouth?
Her lips parted in surprise, and he studied her face as if spellbound.
Are you stealing my dreams now too, Fireborn? The way you've taken everything else?
He kissed her before she could answer. Before she could question how and why they'd shared the same erotic fantasy, and she tasted herself on his tongue as he guided his erection into her waiting sex.
Yes.
Ram. Not a dream or a fantasy. Not a trick. Just Ram and his hard length stretching her. Long strokes that made her whimper against his lips.
Even better,
he muttered, panting as he circled his hips and slung them deep into a move that made her arch off the bed.
How can you even feel better than I remembered?
She struggled against the grip on her wrists, wanting to touch him, to pull him closer. But he resisted, laughing.
Don't be a bad girl, Miss Stewart, or I'll have to keep you after class and teach you a lesson. Fuck.
Please, Ram. You know I can be bad. I can set things on fire. Teach me.
His grip on her wrists shifted, and then he was pulling one of her hands down to his chest, slipping his own between their bodies.
I'll teach you, Aziza. Teach you how much you can take of pain and pleasure. I'll teach you how far you can go before you beg for mercy.
His hips were pumping against her harder now, faster, as he slipped his finger in and out of her sex and lifted it to her mouth.
Taste,
he whispered. She sucked on his finger, tasting them together, and he groaned.
I'll teach you all I know,
he vowed darkly, his flushed cheeks and labored breathing signaling that he was as close as she was to coming.
But it will take practice. Deep, thorough, constant fucking practice. Can you do that, sweet Aziza? Can you take all of it in? Ah, yes, that's so tight. So good. I can feel you tightening around me, and you're so wet and hot. If I had my abilities back, you'd be screaming by now, feeling me inside you everywhere, touching you everywhere, he moaned. You have an ability we've both dreamed about, one I know you can control. Make me hot, Ziza. So hot I nearly burn while I'm fucking you.
She saw him glance down at her hand and felt a flash of fear. She couldn't.
You controlled the flames around the Alpha. We can give him what he wants.
Burn,
she whispered, watching his jaw clench as she felt the hand on his chest heat.
Sweet Fireborn,
Ram hissed, his hips still pounding furiously against hers.
That's right. I thought about this when you were cuffed to the cross, that I wanted all of you, Both of you, Aziza and the Fireborn. Fuck. Yes. Hotter. I'm not human, but even if I were, I'm also the king of kink. Fire is edge play, too.
Why was that turning her on? Because he was impaling her as he was saying it? Taking the heat she was giving him and pushing her boundaries? Demanding more?
Next time, I promise,
she gasped, close to climax.
Give me another order, King Kinky.
He understood.
Come for me.
Aziza lifted her hand off his chest and over her head, releasing the heat and straining against him as he took her over the edge.
Yes, sir!
Fuck. Again,
he shouted, his thrusts making the bed rock.
Say it again!
She was coming.
Yes, sir! She cried. All of it, ram! Ram!
Her body quaked with the explosive force of her orgasm. She was coming so hard, flying so high she might never come down.
Flying.
She was only partially aware as he pulled out of her and gripped his cock, coming onto her thighs as he shouted her name and made her realize he hadn't worn a condom. She'd forgotten. Forgotten everything but what they were doing to each other. She shivered and wrapped her arms and legs around him when he lowered himself onto her body again. He was kissing her everywhere. Her shoulder, neck, chin, everything he could reach, whispering her name with every breath.
Sweet Aziza.
Ram. How could she ever regret this? Why would she deny herself this pleasure? You can't. You won't. She never would. He was alive and safe in her arms. The feeling was too heady, too satisfying for regret. It was hours later, close to dawn, when she walked down the hall toward the kitchen in nothing but Ram's t-shirt and her underwear, unable to sleep. She'd collected the books Dern had given her from Penn's when she'd seen her aunt off. Maybe she should get a glass of water and read until her mind stopped buzzing. Stopped thinking about Chev searching out the Janeer, the blood rituals, and Chai's safety. Stopped thinking about the pained resignation on Brandon's face when he'd stepped aside, and how his people had reacted to her eruption.
I've been wondering if my vision was off.
West's voice from the living room had her turning around. She tugged on the hem of her shirt for a minute, but she was too deliciously achy, too relaxed, to care. West had seen her in less.
What vision?
The fire was lit and his incense was out again, and he was holding something in his lap, something that caught the firelight and glittered like copper.
What is that?
West smiled as he watched her.
This is something Greg told me to give you before he disappeared with Chai into the tunnels so they wouldn't be competing with the noises coming out of your room.
Aziza's cheeks heated.
That bad?
Safe houses aren't necessarily soundproof, he teased. Come and see, Aziza Jane.
When she sat down next to him, he held it out to her and she set it on her lap. A glass jar of pennies. The label on it read, Pins, Pennies, in her aunt's swirling hand. See a penny, pick it up.
When we were young,
she said softly, her gaze fixed on the small coins.
Adam caught Joseph and me in the backyard, planning to run away to India. We had a world atlas and 3 pennies between us.
She smiled fondly.
Adam wisely suggested we would need more pennies, a lot more.
For a year, he'd come home every day from the grocery store, his pockets full of pennies for the two of them. Even when they were walking home from school, Adam would have the young Joseph scouring the ground in search of the coppery treasure. See a penny. Pick it up. All day long, you'll have good luck. Adam had made them recite the rhyme. He'd also suggested that so much money was dangerous to just leave laying around. They'd need to find a good place to hide it. Look inside. Aziza opened the jar and let the coins press against her fingers as she pushed her hands in, searching.
This is crazy, she muttered. Why would he send...
She wrapped her fingers around what felt like a small container, the kind Adam had placed his rolls of film in for safekeeping. Not a vial. She pulled it out and studied it with her brows furrowed. West leaned forward.
Open it, Azizah Jane.
She took off the small gray lid and peered inside. Not film. Glittering black sand.
How?
Greg told me your aunt mentioned the pennies after Chai told her about Adam's pictures,
West answered.
Penn said Adam had mailed her the jar from Colorado and told her they were her pennies and she needed to keep them safe. He made her promise. She's kept them exactly like this since he died, never opening the jar or looking inside.
It didn't make sense. It was just like Tariq's box. Tariq had sent it to Penn's, planning on all of them coming to live there after he returned from Bahrain. And now Adam had done the same thing with something she couldn't help but think was meant for her. She looked up at West, and he cupped her face with his warm hand, using his thumb to wipe a tear she hadn't realized had fallen off her cheek.
Makes you want to argue with Thurn for the side of destiny, doesn't it? Makes you believe this was meant to be.
It did. Adam and Tariq had both left something for her in England, with Penn. Azizah was always going to come here. This was always going to happen. But what she did next was her choice. She noticed a small Swiss Army knife on the table and bit her lip. No glass vial to crush accidentally or on purpose. This was her own blood ritual. Her heart started to race with adrenaline. With it, she would find answers. Find Razia. Stop all this death. She picked up the knife and opened the blade, hesitating for a moment before slicing it across her palm.
Damn,
she said, wincing as the blood rose up to the surface and overflowed onto her skin. She reached for the canister of sand and cupped her hand, pouring the dark grains into her palm as West burned the incense. She was dizzy, woozy. She stood and walked closer to the fire as she watched the sand accept her sacrifice, accept her oath in blood and disappear under her skin. Her other palm was burning, and she could smell the charring flesh of the brand. The third vial. Only Joseph's left. There's more. There is always more. But she wouldn't need any more than that. Not for what she had to do. Azizah looked into the fire and saw what she was looking for. A woman bathed in flames in the desert, a few steps away from her. The Mayette in human form. She'd changed the way Tay had changed. The Mayette had taken on a few of Aziza's features. They were closer. Merging. A giant wave of water appeared behind the Mayette and Azizah pointed and called out a warning.
What is that?
The River of Time. The Keeper navigates, she answered softly. A gift from me to protect both your lines. But the river is vast, and she cannot always see where it will lead. It washed over them, and then it was no longer a wave of water, but light. She saw a boy who looked like West drawing a picture of her in his bedroom. The Mayette pointed in the other direction, and she saw a man in an old-fashioned suit taking notes. A man who looked like he could be Dern's twin. The same height, the same dark red hair. His great-grandfather? You can see the past, the Mayette assured her, pointing toward a wet alley where a young Chai huddled, her knees bent to her chest, crying as she let the rain wash the blood off of her hands. What had happened to her? Azizah wanted to go to her, protect her. This Chai looked terrified. Crazed. How had that girl become the loving, upbeat woman in Greg's bed? Choice and destiny, both are true. You were always destined to be Fireborn, but your choices, your heart, will shape us both. The Mayette pointed again, and Azizah was in a small living room scattered with colorful silk pillows. The house where her mother and father had lived until she was almost 2 years old. Zaid Amu was swinging the young Azizah in the air, swaying with her to a song playing on an old-fashioned phonograph. Come Josephine in my flying machine, going up she goes, balance yourself like a bird on a beam, in the air she goes.
Do you promise, Papa?
Zaid chuckled gently. I promise, Aziza. Whether the new baby on the way is a boy or girl, they will be named after this song. Josephine if it's a girl, and Joseph if it's a boy.
Aziza watched her younger self in awe, unable to believe she'd forgotten this moment.
I hope it's a girl, Papa. Then she can play with me.
Zaid shook his head. That doesn't matter, Aziza. Either way, when the baby is old enough, I will take you both to where I found this.
He dipped the child and she squealed, not seeing what Aziza did. The unusually shaped amulet he was pointing to on the table beside them. It looked like a piece was missing, like it was supposed to fit into something.
We will have an adventure, Aziza, he promised. And when we do, you will understand how precious you are.
Aziza looked away from the memory, turning back to the Mayette.
Why are you showing me this? Will it tell me what I need to know about the blood ritual? About soul casting? I need to stop the murders.
You have.
She shook her head in frustration.
I didn't do anything. I haven't stopped anything. Four girls died, and Chai could be in danger next.
Do not let them use your heart against you, the Mayette repeated again. Do not let them take the power away from you. Do not trade it to save a single life. The Mayette held out her palm, glittering with black sand, and blew the grains toward Aziza. As she blinked, the woman disappeared. Joseph was standing in her place.
Joseph! She reached for him. I've been looking for you. Where are you? Tell me what I need to do to find you.
Joseph smiled sadly and shook his head. You need to listen, to see the truth.
Suddenly, Aziza was standing in the corner of a dimly lit room, watching the Alpha gesturing emphatically to a group of men in faded robes.
I ordered his death, he insisted. Why does one exile matter when that bitch humiliated me in front of my family, my people? You told me she could be manipulated.
The Janir. The Alpha was talking to the Janir about her. This wasn't the past. This was happening now.
The fault lies with you, young Billy.
Razia's voice stung her ears. The aging punk rocker was now dressed more like a monk, the tattoo on his bald head and his demon black eyes the only clues that he was not what he appeared.
We played our roles to perfection. A little blood in a few bodies, and she danced well enough to our tune. Shame you couldn't have been more convincing, that your son couldn't have been more obedient. But that isn't our problem. Perhaps we made a mistake all those years ago, allowing you to be Alpha instead of your brother.
She watched her family's killer, unable to move as he walked across the large room. Its walls were made of a strange sort of marble, unlike any she'd ever seen, the floors etched with symbols that curved around a circle stained with blood. She could sense the pain, hear the echoes of agonized cries. This was where the other women had been taken, tortured, and killed. A woman stood in the middle, her back to them as Razia smiled at the swearing Alpha.
Ha! William Nash laughed, but it was obvious he was nervous. Your posed, blood-drained dolls didn't close the deal. My people made that happen with the slit of a single throat, forced her to take the Jinn's side and allow me to order his death. What did you do? Everything else. Razia shook his head condescendingly. Leave now. See if you can use that CEO line on your own people, now that the Vessel of Fire has set you adrift. Be grateful we didn't punish you for your failure in a more creative way.
The Alpha turned without a word and disappeared, one of the robed Janir following behind him. Razia turned toward the others.
He is a loose end we may need to tie up sooner than we thought.
A male she didn't recognize stepped forward.
Allow me.
Razia waved him off. No. I'm curious to see how he will wriggle out of the trap he set for himself by proclaiming her the last Alpha. He smirked. That wolf might love theatrics more than I do. Forget about him. Let me see the book.
Another figure handed him a thick, ancient-looking tome that made Aziza want to scream in denial. They couldn't have it. It was safe from them. Safe from all of them. Razia started to laugh in true delight.
A stroke of genius, this,
he said to no one in particular.
He always did like games. Perhaps that is why he appreciated your idea. The djinn are out for blood, searching for the contents of the now-empty vault. The Nia are in a panic over the Fireborn's increased disruption of time, and the enforcers are at each other's throats. Chaos reigns, and soon everything will be perfect. The Fireborn will be ready, and we will have the knowledge we need to set her free.
Free her. The Djinn Mother. They were planning to use the soul-casting ritual to free the soul of the Djinn's mother, the warrior, from wherever it was held. Aziza knew it was true, but she was still missing something. The woman who'd been standing still and silent as a statue in the circle of blood lifted her head and spoke. The exile lives. Her voice was painfully familiar. Razia patted her shoulder.
You could go back to your original plan if you like. The djinn will kill him when they find the book they think is the one we were looking for in his possession. Even if the enforcers don't. Soon enough you will be free of your pain. You deserve no less after all you have done to further our cause.
He promised me Ram would die. The woman turned and Aziza felt as if her heart had been ripped out of her chest. I cannot serve him completely, cannot do what must be done for him, for her, if I'm not whole. Chev. When she moved, Aziza could see the small woman who'd been hidden by her body. The crying woman wrapped in iron and kneeling in the circle of dried blood. But then, if he still lives, I can use our connection to stay close to the Fireborn. And then only if all eyes are not fixed on us. Which means I will need to kill the djinn trader who attempted to frame Ram and worked with the djinnir. Bring back her head on a platter. Ram's youngest sister, Hania? Chev had betrayed Ram, Aziza, her people. And now this?
Don't worry, dear Chev, and don't kill her yet. He may find a use for her. We have played our parts, just as he wanted. I was a focus of her hate, and you her love. Both of us succeeded admirably. But he is close now. Close to releasing her from her eternal prison, and finding the Fireborn's youngest brother before she does, to ensure there is no potential for the line to continue. Soon our work will be at an end.
West was shaking her. And Ram was beside her, calling her name. Aziza! Aziza, you need to stop screaming!
How? She cried. How can I?
How could she? Chev was Ram's Toma, closer than family. She'd helped Aziza, helped her understand her powers. She'd cared about them, only she hadn't cared. She was Janir. That was why she'd stood by and watched Harash nearly kill Pin. Why she'd left. How could she have fooled them all this time? And how could she tell Ram about both Chev and Hania without it destroying him?
No.
She fell to her knees and both men came down with her, holding her and offering comfort. West's voice was soothing.
Visions are not always what we expect. But they show us what we need to know. You're closer to the Maiat now than the Zaman herself. It may have been more realistic than you're used to. Just breathe.
More realistic. More shattering. Joseph will be at your side at the end. Joseph needed to be at her side now. And Chev needed to burn.
West, we're going to need a keeper's safe house in Bahrain. And you're going to want to call my biographer and traveling librarian to see if he can help. I refuse to sit on my thumbs and wait for destiny while my brother is in danger.
West stood.
You saw that? Joseph in danger.
She nodded grimly. And more. Razia isn't the one in charge, but I'll know who is soon enough.
She had to save her brother from the mysterious him Chev and Razia had referred to, and if she could get to her in time, she had to save Ram's sister from Chev. For some reason, she knew their search would start where it all began. Home. She needed to find that amulet her father had shown her in her vision. It meant something. She had to focus on that. Not on the betrayal. Not on the loss. You are more. She was. She could feel it. If they weren't scared of her before, they would be soon.
This has been a presentation of Insatiable Press. For more information on related titles from Insatiable Press, please visit us online at insatiablepress.com. Make Me Burn. Text copyright 2014 by R.G. Alexander, all rights reserved. Production copyright 2015 by Insatiable Press, all rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.